In you all.
In us all, and for that we say praise the Lord. Amen. We just honor the Lord today. We thank God for all the testimonies.
Yes.
Amen. I was praying, as Brother Akeem said, I was praying and thinking about when we went to Boston a couple of weeks ago. I was just praying, whenever he's there, whatever he's doing, that God will make it all right.
Amen.
Amen. 4 years of college as a teenager, and then a young adult is a challenge.
Yes.
Amen. I was in college, and I know the temptations and the tests, but God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading this afternoon, which will come from Revelation, the 20th chapter. Amen. Revelations, the 20th chapter. We're going to read together verses 11 through 15. Amen. How many really love the Lord this afternoon?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
For those that didn't get to testify, can you just wave your hand and say, Lord, thank you?
Lord, thank you.
Come on, let's wave and say, if he's done something for you, can you just wave and say, Lord, thank you.
Lord, thank you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. God has been good. I say God has been good. Amen. We're going to have our scripture reading. Start with verse 11. If we have it, can we say amen? And if you do not have it, it is on the screen. Let us start. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was now no place for them.
And I saw
the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Wait a minute, what? I saw the dead. Amen. Said, dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their words. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And Heavenly Father, we thank you this afternoon for your word.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we thank you for your anointing.
Yes.
Oh God, we thank you for the Spirit of God that we have in this place. Now God, as we stand in your presence, Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus, Lord, to search us and know us. Lord, then after you search and know us, make us to know our ends through thy word and the measure of our days, what it is. Lord God, that we might know how frail that we are. Lord, in the name of Jesus, even as we sit on this afternoon, Lord, we ask you to give us a ear to hear what the Spirit of God would say unto the church. And for all these things, we thank you in advance for what we know you're going to do. Can the church say in Jesus' name?
Amen.
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 Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Truly, we thank God this afternoon for being in church. How many glad to be in church?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Where else can you go to feel the presence of the Lord? For the psalmist says that in his presence is the
fullness of
God. But before that, he says his ways are the path of life.
Yeah.
Amen. You want to know about living, you got to be in church.
Yeah.
You got to be in God. Amen. One of the central, or the main central theme, are the core message of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is all about salvation. From Genesis to salvation is all, from Genesis to Revelation is all about salvation. Salvation is the reconciliation, a renewing of a harmonious relationship between God and man. God has always been there. God never broke the relationship. But it's us reestablishing harmony with God. The primary and sole message that the Bible illustrates or brought into existence is salvation. Amen. And salvation ends in judgment. One of the most important things that we can do in our lives is make sure we're saved. Paul writes to Timothy and he tells him, he says, Timothy, you brought nothing into this world. And it is for certain that you will carry nothing out of this world. Amen. We brought nothing into this world. The only thing that we have control of is our souls. That decision is based up to us. Amen. So this afternoon, we're going to deal about, have you made your spiritual preparations? Have you made your spiritual preparations? And we prepare for a whole lot. Amen. If we're going to go to work, we make sure we have all of our clothes together. We make sure that we are in some type of appropriate appearance so we're not embarrassing to ourselves. Amen. When we have a house guest, we make the necessary preparations. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
I hope. We make preparations because we want everything to be just right. Mm-hmm. So we make preparations for everything, but sometimes the weights of life get to us to the point that we forget about the number one preparation that we should make. And that preparation is for our souls. Amen. We did, we dab, we figure out everything. Amen. But we forget about our souls. Well, God shows John here in Revelations, starting with the 11th verse, he shows him on the Isle of Patmos, he gives him this vision. And he said, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. Peter said, there's going to come a time when these elements are going to be destroyed with a fiery fervent heat.
Yeah.
They will be no more. Amen. He said, there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead. Amen. There's something that happens to everyone that's living. Mm-hmm. They will die unless they go in the great snatch. Right. Mm-hmm. Amen. Everyone living will die unless they go in the great snatch. So death, it has no partiality about your relation, about your race. It doesn't care about your economic condition.
Yeah.
Death does not care where you live. Death cares not about your age. Death is not concerned about your place of employment. Death doesn't care whether you have the finest clothes or if you are poor or pauper. Death has no respect for any of us. Amen. So we're all one day going to die. Amen. The question is, how are we going to die? Are we going to die making our spiritual preparations to meet the Lord? Or will we die, amen, that we haven't made the right preparations? Well, John says, and the books were open. God is keeping a record of all of our affairs. Amen. All of our affairs, he's keeping a record on a daily basis. Amen. What's in the books is your life. What are you living? What are you doing? The books were open. And another book was open, which is the
Book of Life.
Lord, that's what we're living for. We're living to have our names written in the Book of Life. But in order for our names to be written in the Book of Life, there are some preparations that is required of us to make. Amen. And the thing about these preparations, you can't do it for someone else and nobody else can do it for you.
Right.
In order for you to have the right spiritual preparations, you got to work out your own
salvation.
Amen. Yes, we love everybody. We want everybody to go to heaven. But in the end, amen, in the final conclusion, what we spend eternity will not be based on anyone but ourselves. Amen. Like I told you, my mom, I love my mom. My mom did a lot of things for me. And the last thing I wanted to do was to see her go home to be with the Lord. But she said, she told us, we were all in the hospital room. I never forget. She said, I'm ready.
Right.
I made my preparations.
Right.
She said, whatever God says, she said, it's good for me.
Yeah.
She said, if he heals me, great. But if he doesn't heal me, I'm ready. I want to know this afternoon, can we say that right now? Amen. Can you say at this moment that you're ready, that you made all of your spiritual preparations?
Come on.
God is a God that sits high and looks low.
Yes.
And the Bible lets us know he keeps a record of all of the things that we're doing in our bodies. So John says the book of life and the dead were judged out of those things which were
written in the book.
Written in the book, not according to what they thought, not according to what they said, not according to what we think about each other, but what's in the books is determined by your
works.
How do you live? Amen. Your name to be in the book is determined about how you live. Amen. The next verse reads, and you know, some people say, well, just, you know, the reason people like to be, what do they call that when you burn? Cremated. And they actually spread over the sea, they think that's the end. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's why when they get, you know, a lot of people get cremated, they say, just fly me over the waters and throw me there. Well, Paul said, John lets us know, you can't hide even in the sea. Amen. It said, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Hallelujah. And death and hell delivered the dead which were in them. No hiding place. The sea gave up the dead. He said, well, death, that's the end. No, not death, that's not the end. Amen. Some people say, I don't care where I live or how I go. If I go to hell, I go to hell. It still matters because death, hell, and the sea delivered up the dead that were in them. Amen. Well, where did they go? And the dead which were in them, and they were, they went to judgment. Hallelujah. It's important today that we make the proper spiritual preparations. Amen. Where do you want to spend eternity? It's not by choice. Our spending eternity will be based on our works. It said they were judged by their works. Amen. We might tend to hide from people and from others, but you can be assured of one thing. We cannot hide from God.
Yeah.
Amen. I know we like to hear a message of shouting, but today I don't want to shout my way to hell.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to shout my way out of favor with God.
Come on,
I don't want to shout and not hear the Lord be able to tell me, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So I'm just here to let you know we need to make some spiritual preparations. Amen. I know when we're in church, the spirit of conviction to get a hold of us. Amen. And while we're in church, we determine, I know, Lord, my life is not what it ought to be. But I'm going to make it better. But then we leave the doors. And then we get our focus on everything but making it to heaven and pleasing God. Amen. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Amen. Like I said, we want to shout, but we want to be right before God. Isn't that important?
Yeah.
Amen. Isn't it right to hear the Lord saying, well done, thy good and
faithful.
To be faithful means you have works that qualify your name to be written in the book of
life.
Amen. 5 verse 7. Says, for we walk by
faith.
We walk by
faith.
And not by sight. The tool, the device that the devil uses to discourage so many well-meaning saints if we start looking around. Amen. Well, God, my life would be better if it wasn't for this. Oh, God, why can't I have that? Why am I not in this position? The just shall walk by
faith.
What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but mostly important is the evidence of things not seen. Amen. The tool that the devil is using to hinder the good saints of God is watching and looking and seeing instead of believing God.
Yeah.
Amen. As we said a little earlier, the problem that Abraham had and Sarah, they believed God, but they did not fully
trust.
Today, the question in all of our lives, I know we believe God. The Bible says even the devil believed. But how many of us trust God? To trust God means, Lord, I'm not going to keep doing
doing things that I know are not getting me prepared to hear you say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. To trust God requires us to do more than just the normal things that we see. For the things we see, the Bible say, are
temporal.
Amen. The devil gets us focusing on this and focusing on that and focusing on everything but God. For the things which are not seen are eternal. We cannot see God. Lucifer could not see God when he was in heaven with God. That's why he tried to elevate his throne above the throne of God, because he could not see. Lucifer was walking by sight. Saints of God, that's a dangerous position to be in. When you're looking at everything, the body is not right, the house is not right, he's not right, she's not right. Everything but God. Do you trust God? Do you know that God can take all of the crooked things in our life and make them straight? But he can't do it till we make the proper spiritual preparations. Amen. The Bible says, when a man ways, please the Lord.
Yeah.
When you're making the right preparation, he will make everything that's coming against you be still. Amen. When your ways are pleasing God, he'll make even your enemies be at peace. Somebody said, I don't have the peace of God that I should have. My mind is tossed on the wind. My mind is tossed to and fro. Amen. Because it's not by might.
Yes.
Not is it by power. But God said it's by mind.
Yes.
It's by faith. You don't see the Spirit, but you got to believe. You got to believe that God's going to work it out. Verse 8 reads, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present
with the Lord.
When you're walking by faith, our greatest desire is to be present with
the Lord.
The Lord. But the enemy likes to slip in a whole lot of things to make God secondary. Amen. You ever leave church and you're on such a high and get a phone call or get a bad response and all of that joy all of a sudden just comes to a crash? You got to remember the devil's desire is not for you to have joy and to be full of glory. His desire is to hinder you. Amen. His desire is to frustrate you. His desire is to get you to a position where you begin to question the very existence and the sovereignty of God. That's his desire. It's up to us, brothers and sisters, to make a stand for God regardless of what's happening.
Yeah.
Amen. Because it's not by sight, but it's by faith. Amen. So he goes on to say in verse 9, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be
accepted of him.
When we're making the right preparations. When we're making the right preparations, we want to be acceptable with
him.
You know, and say, well, you know, I do want to be acceptable with God, but I have to please some other things too. Jesus said, no. If you make preparation for husband, if you make preparations for wife, if you make preparations for brothers, sisters, or anything more than me, he said, you're not worthy of me. He said, if you love, that means you put that before God. Our number one preparation should be God. Amen. It's hard. It's not easy because we're all emotional. We all are human. Anybody here that's not human? So I guess I'm speaking to us all, right? We're all human. We all have emotions. When my mom cried, I cried like everybody else. Amen. I cry in my private time when nobody is there because I have emotions. Amen. But I cannot allow my emotions to cause me to be in conflict with God. So though I may cry, I got to shake myself. And I got to come out of it. Amen. Because of my skin and that weak and sovereign position, then I give the adversary the advantage. And the Bible says we are not ignorant of his devices, lest he should get the advantage over us. My question this afternoon is the devil getting the advantage? Are you allowing your trials do the right thing. For we must all appear before the... We're going to appear. So since we're going to appear, it says we share this fix. You don't have a choice in that. Amen. You can't decide that, well, am I going to appear? It says we share that fixed by God. That is set. That is something that's appointed by God. We shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Since I'm going to have to appear, I in my right mind, I want to do the things that him say, well done. My question this afternoon, yes, we have many excuses. Amen. I'm just human. God understands. Yes, he understands, but it requires us to go beyond just mental reasoning and the wisdom of this world. God requires us to go beyond just trying to rationalize salvation. God wants us to walk and to live by faith. So Paul goes on to say, in his body, according to that which he has done, whether it be good or bad. Amen. Knowing therefore, the reason that we're in church, we understand. This doesn't mean to be fearful. It means we know, we reverence God. We understand. We love God. We know God. So knowing God, amen, we persuade men. It would be a dangerous position for us to be in, as Elder Matthew went over last week, that we preach to everybody else and get them saved, and then we become a castaway. Yes. Said, nor in the terror of the law we persuade men. If you're going to persuade men, how much more should we be convicted ourselves? You're going to persuade men, how much more should we be persuaded ourselves? Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. We got to make preparation. We're going to all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. And as I stated earlier, death has no respect of age. Amen. It has no respect of your social position. It has no respect of your employment. Death has no respect. Amen. And if it had not been for the Lord standing in the gap, many of us would have been dead before we got saved. But God was good to us anyhow. God made a way anyhow. Amen. So since God has been so good to me, the least I can do is be good back to him. It says, well, why are you here? Anybody try to figure out? You know, a lot of time I heard somebody say not too long ago in their testimony, I'm trying to figure out what God is doing. God knows what he's doing. Amen. God knows what he's doing. And whatever your situation is, be assured, God knows how to fix it. But the problem is we're focusing on the wrong thing. So Solomon, who they classify as the preacher, said, let us hear the whole conclusion of the matter. We ought to do what?
Fear God.
How many of us are dedicated, amen, to not just fearing God, but keeping his commandments. Amen. To keep God's commandments. This is why you get a little confused when people live like a sinner, live wrong, and say, well, in the end, I just say, I'll go to heaven anyway. Jesus said, if you love me, thank you, Lord. If you love me, keep my commandments. The reason the devil is before God and accuse us because many of us refuse to keep God's word rather than alive in our hearts. He said, Jesus said, if you abide in me and if you love me enough to let my words abide in you. So it's a responsibility that he's placed on us. We love him. Let his word abide in us. Let him rule in our heart. Let him direct us. Let's make the right spiritual preparation. Verse 14 reads, for God shall bring
everywhere.
Do you know God is keeping a record?
Oh yeah.
Amen. When you don't think anybody else knows, God knows. God is going to bring every word in part of the scripture, because you know a lot of us, we got a whole lot of stuff we got right already. Amen. But we got some stuff we kind of put in within the corner. Amen. We got some stuff we kind of swept under the rug.
Right.
There's some stuff we put in the closet. Amen. I'm not going to get that right, because you know what? People might not be too impressed with me. Amen. I got to let some stuff slide. He said he's going to bring every word into judgment along with the what? Yes, God sees it all. In the book, he writes what is known, and he writes what is also unknown. God brings every secret word into judgment. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 12. He's going to bring us into judgment 12:33. Matthew chapter 12:33. Like I said, we want to shout, but let's get right and then shout. Amen. Because the devil's shouting. We had a guy here last week. We know he didn't have God's spirit. He was just dancing and shouting.
Right.
Until Minister Simon prayed and said, Satan, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus.
Right.
It's power.
Yeah.
Tommy said that. I was watching him the whole time because I knew it was something wrong. When he said, Satan, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus, he was looking around. He couldn't find his coat. He didn't know what to do. He got that coat. He ran out the door. Because
yep.
It's power.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. Demons are summoned to the name of Jesus. You know, sometimes when God does miraculous things in church, we just look over, that's like an everyday thing. No, that's not. Amen. Because he was here trying to disrupt the service. Hallelujah. But God, when we put the name of Jesus on anything, and this is what Jesus said, so glad when he said it, in the name of Jesus, Satan, we rebuke you. You have no place here. Amen. Within seconds, he was fumbling and bumbling and walking out the back door. That's the kind of God we serve. Amen. Well, take that same power in whatever situation you're going in, use the name of Jesus. How do we have the greatest power in this world? And the Bible says not just this world, but the world to come. And we're in the position or condition we're in. But God, use his name. 12:33 reads, I will make the tree good and its fruit. If I'm going to be in church, I might as well decide I'm going to do what's right. If I'm going to be in church, I might as well do what is good. Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
Can I get a praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
If I'm going to be here, don't use me, keep masquerading and doing my own thing. Because my own thing might not be a good thing. But if I'm going to be here, I choose to do what is good. Amen. The Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to be a good fruit. Hallelujah. Either make the fruit good and the tree good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known how you live. I don't care what kind of great names and titles and all this. They don't care about all that. God looks at how you live. A tree is known by its
fruit.
What are you producing? Amen. What is your life all about? You're known by that. I don't care what kind of great names and titles and all of this stuff they put on you. You're known by how you live. Amen. I'm known by how I live. I choose to live good. I choose to live right. Do I always want to do it? No. Do I always want to put myself out? No. But Lord, you've been so good to me.
Hallelujah.
And because you've been so good to me, how can I help but render unto the Lord for all of his benefits that he's done to me?
Yes.
How can I get so selfish and caught up in self that I refuse to render unto the Lord the goodness for all the benefits he's done unto me? He said, O generation of vipers, how can ye be
evil?
I don't care how much you purpose or masquerade or be a charlatan. You can't mask evil. Amen. You can't speak good if you have not do godliness, when your heart is not right, then how can you then, being evil,
speak good things?
He said, he's talking, now we're talking about the heart condition. Amen. This afternoon, the most important thing we can do is make sure our hearts are right. How can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the
abundance of the heart,
the mouth speaketh. Whatever is resident in you will come out. Amen. You can hide it for a little while. Amen. That's some stuff. Well, I'm going to go ahead and myself keep going. I'll get down to that. Then we'll bring out the stuff. Can we say we'll bring out the stuff?
Bring out the stuff.
Come on, we'll bring out the stuff.
We'll bring out the stuff.
And we get to the scripture.
And we get to the scripture.
But we didn't get there yet. Hallelujah. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth
evil
things. But I say unto you that every
idle word.
Then we get to the stuff. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we get frustrated and we say some idle means unprofitable words. It means meaningless words. Sometimes in our frustration, we spit out some mess. We spit out some stuff. But I heard James said the fountain cannot yield sweet and
bitter water.
I heard James say the fountain cannot yield sweet and
bitter water.
Amen. Whatever is in there will come out. Amen. If you got a sweet spirit, guess what you will be? Lord have mercy, but if you got bitterness in your heart, that's what's going to come out. Amen. A lot of us are trying to get to heaven with a bitter spirit. It will not work. He said, Matthew said, Adam make the tree and the fruit good or make it corrupt. You cannot be evil and speak good things because out of the abundance of your
heart.
But he said, now these idle words. Not, you know, just some of the words we speak, right? Is that what he says?
Every.
What does he say about those kind of words?
Every.
Well, I was just emotional. You still got to get an account. You better get it right. Amen. Well, I was just in emotional. I was broken. It doesn't make a difference with God because he's going to judge the secret thing. Now, these idle words, you didn't say it, but you. Hello? The idle word, you didn't say it, but you. So those are the secret things. Amen. Yes, you went through the motions, you went through everything, but there was something idle in your heart. You must give an account to God for that as well. In other words, a man speaks, shall they give an account of? If you don't get it right, some men's sins go up. You can read about it in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Some men's sins go up. I got it right. But woe unto them that have had idle words and secret things, and those sins follow them. That's a dangerous position to be in. God judges our hearts from the abundance of the what?
Heart.
That's why Proverbs said, keep thy heart with all. That means set a watch on it. The devil is trying to break you down. The devil's trying to destroy you. People are against you. Set a watch. Don't let them into that heart. Because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth will fall by thy
word.
Somebody said, well, sticks and stones may break my bones, but I don't have to worry about the talk. No, yes, you do. Because it said, for by thy words thou shalt be
justified.
So that means what you say does matter. How you act does matter. Even if you don't say it verbally, remember most of the time the Bible said that the Lord knew their and thoughts, and they did not say the word. Amen. God knows what's in us, and we don't have to say a word. As I went on Friday, that's why he healed the Syrophoenician woman. Because everybody was trying to shut her up. But God said, even though I'm going to insult her, I know what's in her heart. Amen. The man that was lame at the pool of Siloam, need than money.
Right.
Anybody know this afternoon, your need is greater than money?
Amen.
Your need is greater than physical things? They said, well, just as we have, give us our 10. In the name of Jesus Christ, he said, rise up, man. That's our problem. We got to let Jesus fix it for us. Amen. We're not going to give you what you want. Hallelujah. Lord, help our ministry to give you what you
need.
Amen. Maybe you're in the gutter, most in the uttermost, and somebody's not giving you what you want, but ask them to give you what you
need.
We need.
Yeah.
We need to make preparations. Sugarcoat salvation will help you pave your way right to hell, just like the unsaved. It's time to be real with God. All this charlatan salvation, masquerading salvation, be real with God. Said, by thy words thou shalt be
justified,
and by thy word thou shalt be
condemned.
In other words, what you say, what you do does matter. It matters. How you act does matter. Say, well, I can act this way in the church and I don't have to act like that when I go out. I can let my hair down and be myself. Yes, it does matter. Because you got to give an account for every. Well, I was just in an emotionally broken position. You still got to give an account. And if you don't get it right now, you're going to have to get it right in the judgment. God is keeping a book. He's keeping a tally. Everything we do on a daily basis, he's keeping a record. Even some of y'all right now say, why don't you just be quiet and sit down? God's keeping the record. It's time to be real. Make preparation. Stop trying to fix everybody else and let Jesus fix it. Stop trying to fix everybody else and let Jesus fix it. Because you must give an account for everything done in your body. The Bible said whether it be good or whether it be evil. We have to give an account. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. This will be the last scripture we'll go over, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. But just make reference, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, it's appointed unto all men. Hebrews 9, 27 says, it's appointed unto all men to die. And after death, there will be a judgment. What preparations are we making now to ensure? Listen, when I get before God, I don't have to be looking back saying, what stuff did I get right? I want to get it right now. A lot of times we think, now, you know, we're saved. We're saved, we're holy, we walk before the Lord, so when we go to the Lord, say, we can act like a demon if we have to. That's not God. You're supposed to let your light so shine before. A-L-L is all men. Let your light shine before all men so they can see your. Well, does that mean when you're not around the saints, you have to do the right things as well? If you're in line and 20 people cut in front of you, you can't act like a devil. Amen. When you're driving your car and people cut in front of you, you can't act like. Amen. You make so many, one brother said the guy walked in front of him, he fussed at the guy so much that he had to stop down the road later and get out the car. The guy said, you cursing at me? He's like, man, I'm saying, I don't curse, but you must have been doing something wrong, right? For him to think you were cursing at him. Amen? So you can't allow situations to cause you to act ugly. Amen? You are, the Bible says, that he that had no rule over his own spirit is like a city without walls. Saul was a serious writer. If you can't control your own spirit, it says back in those days, your only protection from being destroyed by the adversary of the enemy was the walls around you. That's why Jerusalem is fortified with high walls. So, well, when you can't control your own spirit, amen. My wife is working on trying to control my spirit. I need a lot of help. So y'all gotta help her. All the rest of the time I'm just David. Then all of a sudden I'm messing up. She called me pastor. I'm going, you know why? This is important. We have to be right before God. We need to be clean before God. He said, well, you don't understand, Pastor. I'm going through a fiery trial. This trial is giving me advantage of me. So when I acted ugly, I didn't really mean it. Yes, you did mean it if you didn't go get it right. If you acted ugly and you still have not straightened out that ugly, it's time to get that ugly right. Amen. Verse 12 says, think it not strange concerning me. Fiery trial. That's a trial that I wasn't looking for. This fire got some heat behind it. This fire is driving me. Thinking not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some
strange thing happened.
It ain't strange. It's a fiery trial. It does not give you permission to have loose lips. When we used to go up to Pastor LaFave's church in the men's bathroom there on the big wall, they used to have a thing that said, loose lips sink ships. Amen? Loose lips sink ships, and it goes all the way back to Pearl Harbor and all that happened there. Amen? People were doing too much talking. That's where all that came about. So you have to watch your loose lips. Because loose lips are idle
words.
And you still got to give them an account. Just because you are holier than holy and fasted for the last year, amen, and lost 100 pounds, doesn't that give you permission to act ugly? Amen? You still got to do what's right. Amen. Well, don't you know I prayed 10 hours yesterday, and then the day you acted ugly? Well, when you finish praying, this is important, listen to me on this. When you finish praying, take a few minutes and do what? Listen. Because you spent 10 hours telling God everything you want him to do for you, then you got up and left. And God was holding you by the coattail and said, wait a minute, don't leave yet. I got a few things to say back to you. And you left before he said them, then you met somebody that gave you a fiery trial. And then, as Dr. Luther used to say, you gave them a poison lecture. When somebody would tell Dr. Moose off, he'd say, I don't want to hear a poison lecture. Well, that's what happened a lot of times when we're in a situation when the trial is fiery. We put out that poison. Amen. We tell everybody everything they should have done, could have done, or would have done. That's not God. He that has no control over his own spirit is like a city without walls. That's a good scripture. I haven't used that in so many years, I forgot it. But at the right time, that's why it's good to read your Bible and study.
Amen.
At the right time, God will bring it back to your...
Yes.
Let's get some control over our cities. Let's get some control over our spirit. He said, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ.
Suffering.
When you're going through your hardship, just rejoice. Amen. Did Christ suffer? Yes. Did he have hardship? Yes. Was he reviled? Yes. Was he persecuted? Yes. Then rejoice. What am I going to rejoice for? I'm not Jesus. Amen. Isn't that what we all say? We're not Jesus. Amen. But we have his spirit
in
us. His spirit in us helps us to act right. That when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ,
happy are ye.
If you do not take it for Christ's sake, then be
happy.
Be happy. Do you like it? No. The trial is severe, yes. But take it for Christ's sake, then happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God
resteth on time.
On their part is evil. But Lord, thank you. Because I didn't act ugly. On my behalf, he is.
Glorified.
Amen. Even though they put me through the ringer, he was still glorified. Amen. Next verse. But let none of you suffer as a
murderer.
word or as a or as an somebody gotta take that out of the Bible, right? That next verse? That ain't supposed to be in there, is it? Huh? Or as a what? In I gotta do all that for God to be glorified in my life. I gotta stay out of people's business. Well, I'm making what kind of preparation? Spirit preparations. So in order for me to suffer for Christ and for God to be glorified, I cannot be a murderer. I cannot be a thief. I cannot be a busy body in other people's matters. Work out my own salvation. Next verse, we almost finished. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not. They talking about me, they're running me down. Rejoice.
Amen.
Rejoice in the Lord again, and I say, amen. They're talking about me, but I'm taking it for Christ's sake. But let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is. It's here right now.
Yes.
Not tomorrow, but right now. For the time has come that judgment must begin first at the what?
God
right now. The time has come. God is judging us right now. He's judging the secret things. He's judging the idle things. He's judging all of our actions. Amen. You know, a lot of times people say, I'm just emotional. You still don't have control over your spirit. Men say, well, they said so much, I just couldn't take it anymore. You still are supposed to have control over your spirit. If you don't have control over your spirit, it's because you have not been building yourself up on your most praying in the
Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost. Likewise, he that prays in an unknown tongue
edifies
him. The reason that you're flying off the handle, the reason that your loose lips are sinking ships, is because you haven't been praying. You've been allowing your circumstances. Amen. Yes, you go down on your knees, but you spend too much time crying. That's why God told Moses, he said, Moses, stop crying. It's time for you to go forward. He said, now stretch forth the rod that I had given you and deliver my people. We need to get rid of these emotional outbursts that's strangling us, that has us in a stronghold. We need to loose those right now. Why? Because judgment is right now in the house of God. He said, and if it first begin with us, amen, what shall be the end of them that
obey not the gospel of God?
I'm in church, but I can't, you know, God expect me to live by every word. What shall be the end of them? What shall be the end of them that what?
Obey not
the gospel. Well, that's crazy. They don't expect us to do all that. Well, one thing for sure, if you don't get it right now, you will find out about it in the day of
judgment.
Amen. And the closing, the last verse says, and if the yes, you're holy. Yes, you're blessed. Yes, you pray. But with all that godliness you're doing, you're going to just scarcely be saved. See, if the righteous scarcely be saved, what?
Where shall?
Shall the ungodly
sinner
appear? If I act ungodly, what am I going to appear? Today, as we all stand and making preparations, our spiritual preparations has to be unto God and not unto man. And don't think tomorrow I get it right, because the Bible says our judgment is fair right now. God is judging us based on how we live. God is judging us based on what we do. The question of utmost importance is, can you say it well with my my soul. The most important question as the ministers come forward is, can you say, is it well with my soul? We can make up excuses, but in the end, God is going to judge the secret things as well as the things that are known. I believe Paul tells the church of Rome, he said, God is going to judge the secret things in your life by my gospel. It's not important what any of us see or know about you. This afternoon, what counts most is what is our divine judge going to think. What counts most is what does God think about you. If my life has not been what it ought to be, don't wait for tomorrow, what you need to do today. Salvation, I'm about to say, is something we have to know. We must have a know-so salvation. If we walk out the doors today, we can't say, well, am I saved? You have to know you're saved. You cannot take chances with salvation because it's no guarantee that you will have a chance to get it right. Amen. Today, if you cannot say that 100% sure is well between me and the Savior, then we should be at the altar.